And the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Informer, you know, say that I'm a stormy, I go blam. I like you, boom, boom, bam. Take the man that says that I'm a stormy, start somewhere down the lane. I like you, boom, boom, bam. Informer, you know, say that I'm a stormy, I go blam. I like you, boom, boom, bam.
Good morning and welcome to the Florida Supreme Court. Today we will take up case number 22-1050, Planned Parenthood of Southwest and Central Florida versus State of Florida.
Why does it not connote a negative implication? It's the right to be let alone, free from governmental intrusion. And how does that square in the abortion context when it seems like your clients are seeking a right to procure something?
So I think that abortion is unambiguously covered by the plain text language of the Privacy Clause. The Privacy Clause refers to a right to be let alone and free from government interference into a person's private life. And private life includes not just private information, but private activities and private decisions. The trial court specifically found in this case deeply personal and private reasons that individuals need access to abortion care. And there's no basis in the text to exclude a decision as deeply personal and private as the decision of whether to continue a pregnancy from the otherwise broad protections for freedom from interference in private life.
This is Whitney Lee White. She is the attorney representing the plaintiffs in this case, Southwest and Central Florida Planned Parenthood versus the state of Florida over the 15-week abortion limit that was put in a couple of years ago. That's been under litigation ever since because Florida has an explicit right to privacy in the Constitution. Section 23 reads, right of privacy, every natural person has the right to be let alone and free from governmental intrusion into the person's private life, except as otherwise provided herein. This section shall not be construed to limit the public's right of access to public records and meetings as provided by law. A weird pairing of two sentences that don't seem to have anything to do with each other, but there you go. And that's the historically what has been held as protecting the right to privacy. That was in 1980. That was a part of the Constitution. In 1989, there was a challenge to the a statute about abortion brought by Planned Parenthood, the ACLU of Florida. And in 1989, the high court issued a decision saying that that right to abortion was protected by that 1980 right of privacy. Now the court has changed. You have seven members of the Florida State Supreme Court. You have two of them that have been appointed by Charlie Crist and five who have been appointed by Governor DeSantis. So the court has what was used to be a longtime liberal-leaning 4-3 court is now a conservative, strongly 5-2 court. And so the question is, well, will they rule differently? Will they overturn that 1989 ruling? And will they say that the right to privacy in the Florida Constitution does not extend to protecting abortion, that instead, as you heard there, Merida Sasso, the judge or the justice, asking the question, well, it seems like this right is more about, you know, being let alone from government involvement versus government permitting you to do things. And this is going to be one of the pivotal linchpins of the ruling that's going to come down by the Florida State Supreme Court is, does this right to privacy, as I just read it to you, does that protect something like abortion, or does it only protect against, for example, what the state is arguing, is that it protects you from the government intruding on your personal information and gathering your data? You're free from that kind of government interference. Well, and again, one of the key words in this is going to be governmental intrusion, as the actual amendment says, versus government interference, which is what the plaintiffs keep trying to say. Because if it's government interference, then it kind of feels like that would apply to the abortion case. But if it's governmental intrusion, that's government coming into your private realm and trying to get things out, it doesn't really seem to apply. So a lot of argument about this, and reading only on the basis of what was asked in the oral arguments, this is clearly going to be at least a 5-2 ruling reversing the previous holding, because you had four of the justices, I thought, clearly expressing that they did not believe the privacy amendment in the Constitution protected abortion. It just didn't apply to that. The main reason that they say that, or the state is saying, and I think that the Supreme Court is going to side with them, is that at the time of the arguments that we had over that 1980 right to privacy, nobody talked about abortion. It was not mentioned. The reason it wasn't mentioned is because the voters and the advocates of the right to privacy amendment didn't think that it was about abortion at all. They thought it was about something else. Again, kind of government violating your private right to information and identity and conversations and just that kind of stuff. Because at the time, there had been a ruling that there was no such right to privacy and that information was not protected. Information specifically was not protected. And there, you already had Roe versus Wade. So that was the law of the land at that time, that people already had at least a limited right to procure an abortion based on the trimester system that Roe v. Wade set up. And so this just wasn't part of the debate. And the reason that's important is because at the time the people ratified this in 1980, they couldn't possibly have meant to be settling a very contentious issue like abortion. It's 50 years we've been arguing about abortion. And even before that, before it became a Supreme Court case, right? If they had meant to definitively protect abortion, well, you would have probably said that explicitly in the amendment. And if you had meant it but knew you didn't need to say it, it would have least it would have shown up in the debates. And it didn't show up in the debates. And in fact, some of the evidence seems to indicate that people who advocated for this specifically denied that it was about abortion. So when you listen to the oral arguments, I'll play some of the clips throughout the show. But my read on this is that the Florida Supreme Court is definitely going to reverse. I don't follow the Florida Supreme Court nearly as closely as I follow the United States Supreme Court. But my read on what I heard based on basically just this oral arguments is I wouldn't even be surprised if it was 7-0. It wouldn't even surprise me if it was 7-0, because even the two, what you typically would call liberal justices on the court, didn't really ask questions, didn't push back. In fact, there was this very funny moment right at the very end where Henry Whitaker, who is the Solicitor General for the state of Florida, and he's arguing overturn, right? He's arguing it doesn't include a right to privacy. Therefore, not only the 15-week limit, but the 6-week limit just passed in the previous session should go into effect. That's all been on hold pending this review. And he gets to the end of his arguments. And listen, this is just, I mean, if you know the way Supreme Court arguments go, you'll know why this is funny, but I'll explain afterwards.
And I understand the plaintiffs have raised substantial concerns about women who need to have abortions, suffer barriers to getting abortions and terrible things. And the legislature weighed and balanced those concerns against the interest in preserving life. And that kind of weighing and balancing is precisely the kind of thing that should be done by the legislature and not this court. And that's what we would ask this court to do. Are there further questions? I'm happy to sit down if the court has no further questions.
Thank you very much.
The reason that's amazing is because, again, my knowledge is on the United States Supreme Court more so than the Florida State Supreme Court, so I was put this in brackets or with an asterisk, but that never happens. You guys, you done asking me questions? We're all good here? We got the win? Like, even the two potential opposite votes on this issue didn't even ask him any follow-up questions. As in, his position is so obvious and strong that they're literally out of questions to ask him. I'm just telling you, that never happens. There's always not enough time to ask all the questions that the people, the justices who might be on both sides are wanting to ask. So that, and by the way, another part of this, if you want to, and I'm more like reading the court rather than elucidating the likely legal arguments that are showing up in the opinion, but you had a situation earlier where they were talking a little bit about standing because it's Planned Parenthood that's suing as opposed to women who want to get an abortion, and standing would always be who was harmed by the law. And they say they have standing both as representing the women and as a provider. There's a first party and a third party standing, and the details there don't so much matter to you except that in the law they are distinct. And, you know, the justices had challenged the plaintiffs a little bit on standing. I thought their standing was fine. I don't, you know, I'm not an expert on standing, but it seemed to me like their answers were fine. But then again, Henry Whitaker, Solicitor General for the state of Florida, they asked him about standing. He's like, oh, no, we're good on standing. You let them have it. We're so strong on this case that we want them to have standing so you can rule and strike this down. Like, he's so confident in the merits. This also never happens, right? If you think there's any question about whether you're going to win, you always argue standing if you can, because it's like the second way to win. And he says, oh, no. No, we're good on standing. You go ahead. You write the opinion. So anyway, I say all that to say that the state of Florida, I think, very shortly, as soon as they issue this opinion, is going to enact not only a 15-week but a 6-week limit on abortion, because the right to privacy itself in the state constitution does not protect that particular right, even though the Florida State Supreme Court did rule that way back in 1989. 521 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Do you struggle with occasional nerve aches in your hands or feet? Try Nervive Nerve Relief from the world's number one nerve care company. Nervive tablets contain alpha-lipoic acid to relieve nerve aches, weakness, and discomfort, plus B-complex vitamins to support healthy nerve function as you age. Live life with less nerve discomfort with Nervive Nerve Relief. Learn more at nervivehealth.com. And try Nervive Pain Relieving Cream to block nerve pain signals at the source. Use as directed.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk, 9 to 11, before Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
That ain't no woman. It's a man, man.
Saturday morning, jumped out of bed and put on my best suit. Got in my car, raced like a jet, all the way to you. On your door with heart in my head to ask you a question.
I think that's so fascinating because the way you said it while it was happening, the quote, the version of it that you were saying, Candy,
yeah,
is not the version from the movie, but it's the way I remember it too.
Right.
Because what he actually says is, that's a man, man.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, yeah.
But the way we remember it is, that's a man, baby, because he always says baby so much in other kinds. Like, we mash together the other quotes with that one. I don't, you know,
man.
I'm always fascinated by how these iconic movie quotes
constantly misquoted.
We get them wrong.
Like, Luke, I am your father.
Yeah, we get them. And sometimes we don't necessarily change the substance of it, but we do get them wrong. And that always cracks me up. 524.
Thanks for pointing that out.
No, same for me, though.
Oh, I'm kidding, dude. No, I know. I'm just joking.
No, don't make me cry so early.
No.
524.
Yeah, right. A, it's impossible to make him cry.
It's not impossible, but I don't cry about the things you would normally think I cry about.
No.
524 on News. I cry at the end of rom-coms.
I'm ashamed. I do
it
too,
gets
man.
Me.
I can never watch The Notebook.
This is a stupid movie. I don't like it at all. And not even like the good dramas, like the dumb dramas, you know. And I'm like, I know the ending is coming from, you know, before we start the movie. It still gets me.
I'm saying,
can't help it. They manipulate my emotions so effectively. David Wayne is in the. That's their job, right? David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
Well, the White House isn't very happy about Speaker McCarthy's decision to open a formal impeachment inquiry into President Biden in a social media post. White House spokesman Ian Sams called it, quote, extreme politics of the worst kind. He says House Republicans have been investigating the president for 9 months and haven't turned up evidence yet.
Can I opine in the middle of your newscast?
Absolutely. All please right. do, sir.
Look. McCarthy's trying to avoid a massive budgetary crisis. He's trying to stave off a political attack from Matt Gaetz on the right about him failing to do all the things he promised he would do as speaker. And now all of a sudden, in what can only be described as the early portion of election season, they're going to do what the Democrats did and try to, you know, win by litigation and impeachment. I mean, it's dumb. They don't have the goods. They haven't proven that they have the goods. And if you don't have the goods and you don't do something like this, otherwise you look like you're just doing it for political retaliation purposes. And that's what everybody, I mean, you know, Republicans are not saying necessarily that, you know, I mean, some might believe Biden's guilty and we can get him. Guilty of what? While he was president? I mean, I don't even know what the charge here is exactly. And I can't stand the president. Don't think he should be in office, but this is the way you're going to do it? Come on. You can't complain they do this against Trump and then do it yourself and be like, well, it's fine because they did it. No, if it's wrong, it's wrong. I'm sorry.
It's absolutely. Just, no, so, you're right.
Anyway, go ahead.
It's unfortunately, it's looking like it's going to be an every time now.
Yeah.
Opposition. The opposition party is going to file impeachments, and it's
impeachment is just another campaign tool now. It's crazy.
Right. Terrible way to go about that. Tech leaders are on Capitol Hill today. They're going to be discussing artificial intelligence. They'll be hearing from senators, that is. We'll be hearing from Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg, Bill Gates, and others in a closed-door meeting. And the drama surrounding Jussie Smollett is back in a courtroom today.
Really?
And Illinois Appeals Court hearing arguments by Smollett's attorneys. They would like to have his conviction for lying to police about being the victim of a racist, homophobic attack that turned out not to be true. They want that conviction dismissed.
He lied. I don't get how this is.
I don't know. I guess they're just saying, we'd just really like it if you do this.
We're trying, please.
Can you just please? Okay. Just do us a solid here.
Was that it, David?
Yeah, that's all I got.
Thanks so much. 527 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, man. So we just got done. I mean, not done, but just, you know, it was in the news, the Morocco earthquake, right?
Yeah,
and you had, I don't even, it's like, 2,500 people was the last
estimate
that I saw. Do you see what happened in Libya, though? The Tropical Storm Danielle, I think, is what came around on them. And flooding that they think, I mean, this is a swinging wild guess, okay? They think for sure 5,000 people have died, and they are guessing it's 10,000 or more. 10,000 or more, because the rescuers can't even get in to some of the areas where they basically think like everybody in this city is dead. Because there was this lots of flooding, which, you know, flooding in itself can be dangerous. Not one, but two dams failed around this city, and the whole city got wiped off the map, apparently. And including, like, they don't even think they're going to be able, and this is all kind of early preliminary information, but they don't even think they're going to be able to find the deceased because they got washed out to sea.
Oh, God.
Like, it's just this awful catastrophe. And, you know, maybe God himself only knows how bad it is. But, man, just heart-wrenching to think about that possibility. 528 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Even, you know, just to go back to the Biden thing for a second. There is an argument to be made, and I'm not making it. I'm just representing that people could make it. Yes, we know this impeachment inquiry into Biden is premature at best, ridiculous at worst, okay? And it just depends on whether he did anything that's impeachable, okay? But, you know, there's certainly no smoking gun on that, right? So it's either premature at best or it's ridiculous at worst. But this is how you fight unfair use of impeachment by the other side. This is the only way to fight it. Look at all of the indictments against Trump coming in the pre-election season, you know, and two impeachments and all the various other things. How do you stop them from doing it but by doing it yourself? Taking the moral high ground doesn't win us any points and get us anywhere with the American electorate. That's one argument. Now, I don't believe that argument. I advocate that argument. But it's the argument that says, well, you know, they're using terrorism attacks. We should use terrorism attacks. You know, they're attacking civilians. We should attack civilians. They're using nuclear, biological, and chemical. We should use in the political realm, right? That's the argument. And I'll tell you, there's been one case recently where weirdly this seems to have worked. It's in the whole, like, the woke stuff. All these corporations were catering heavily to wokeism until the Bud Light protest, a ridiculous, stupid, misguided, overblown, outrageously dumb protest that worked. You know, that worked. Maybe this will be the dumb, unjustified, ridiculous political thing that works to teach the other side. Or do you think people learn this lesson in politics?
Fox News. I'm CJ Papa. North Korea's leader is on his way home after meeting with Russia's Vladimir Putin for several hours today in Vladivostok in eastern Russia.
The meeting between the two leaders took place hours after North Korea fired two ballistic missiles into the sea. In the last 2 years, North Korea has launched over 80 short, intermediate, and long-range missiles. Kim Jong-un, of course, Putin welcomed Kim with a handshake that lasted 40 seconds.
Fox's Lucas Tomlinson. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy says the impeachment inquiry into President Biden will take place. Democrats and the president claim it's all hogwash, saying there's no link between VP Biden, then VP Biden, and his son Hunter's business interests. Thousands are dead following catastrophic flooding in a Libyan city where floodwaters broke dams and washed away neighborhoods. Officials fear the death toll could exceed 5,000. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531. News Radio 92.3 right now, 75 in Pensacola. I'm David Wayne. Santa Rosa County looking to purchase a property to support their goals for widening Woodbine Road.
We needed it to even begin. You know, the first phase is to do some work there at Five Points and work at Highway 90 in Woodbine, and to complete the work at Five Points, we needed this piece of property. It was critical that we have this for a retention pond.
Santa Rosa County Administrator Devan Cook tells us the nearly 5-acre property is needed for the widening plan for the road there, and they're looking to purchase it for $765,000. That's on the Santa Rosa County agenda for this coming Thursday. Well, students have returned to the classroom, so have a lot of Pensacola Beach's lifeguards.
Pensacola Beach Safety Chief Dave Greenwood says they're back to reduced staffing levels. He says Casino Beach will be staffed 7 days a week from 9:30 to 6:30. While all sections of the beach are open, he says the safest areas to swim are where lifeguards are present. Lifeguards will no longer be patrolling beaches owned by the Gulf Islands National Seashore, including Opal, Langdon, and Johnson Beaches.
And that is News Radio's Joe Ford reporting. And while our beaches are probably pretty safe right now, beaches along Florida's east coast are on alert. Hurricane Lee continues its northward turn.
Lee is expected to remain a major hurricane for the next day or so, and then the peak winds are going to gradually decrease as it moves out of the tropics and over some cooler waters. But again, as storms move northward, they tend to get bigger, and we're expecting the tropical storm force winds to be out maybe as much as 250 to 300 miles from the center.
That is Dr. Michael Brennan. He says eastern Maine all the way down to eastern Long Island are likely to experience tropical storm force winds. It's still early, but Lee is expected to make landfall in Nova Scotia on Sunday. An Orange Beach resident sharing her account of last weekend's tragic earthquake in Morocco. Deanie Buck and her husband happened to be in the city of Marrakesh. They were traveling with two other couples at the time.
I sent a text home to my family and said, I just want you to know I love you. And saying these words now means more than they ever have.
And she tells Channel 3 that she and her husband were asleep in their hotel when that earthquake hit. They both quickly grabbed their passports and escaped the hotel. She says, out in the streets, it was total, quote, hysteria and pandemonium. She says they were able to get back home, though, with very few delays. Investigators still looking into a structure collapse at a hospital parking garage in Jacksonville. It happened this week at the Ascension St. Vincent's Riverside Hospital there. The good news is there were no reported injuries in that collapse, but apparently several vehicles were in fact damaged. It's 534 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms are possible today, 50% chance of rain. Temperatures today warming up into the upper 80s, low 90s. Overnight tonight, we will have temperatures dropping near 74 degrees. For Thursday, 30% chance of rain with a high near 90. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 74. For the weekend, temperatures cool off very close to average in the upper 80s with lows in the low 70s. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke. 75 in Pensacola, 76 in Gulf Breeze, 72 in Milton. Your next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
News Radio 92.3. Get your live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. Local programming from 5 a.m. until 11 a.m. with Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Expert Panel. Local programming from 4 to 7 p.m. with Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Gracie. And local programming at night with a simulcast of WEAR-TV News. Live and local with News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. At New South Window, we bring the factory to you. Our windows and doors are made with quality in mind, and your products and installation are backed by our lifetime warranty. That's because New South Window knows the importance of single-source accountability. We believe in removing the middleman so you get more for your money. This is real factory direct. One company, one call, guaranteed for life. Get New South proud.
For a limited time only, when you buy more, you can save more. Visit NewSouthWindow.com to learn more.
A better air filter on your air conditioner is nice, but it isn't enough. It takes a lot more than that to clean the air that you breathe. This is Todd with Gulf Coast Air Care. On Wednesday's Pep Talk, we'll talk about how to keep pollen, bacteria, and other pollutants out of your lungs. Remember what I always say, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Let's talk Wednesday morning at 9:30 on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
More news, more talk with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins on at 11, right after the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
At one point, the male that forced entry into a trailer pulled out a handgun, pointed it at her brother, and cocked it. If someone points a gun at you and cocks it, you can shoot them.
I shouldn't laugh because it's a serious case, but the bluntness of Chip Simmons in this particular case did make me laugh. It kind of reminds me of, I don't know if you know who Grady Judd is. He's a sheriff elsewhere in the state. I think yesterday I said it was Pinellas, but the sheriff corrected me. It's Polk County. I think every sheriff has a little Grady Judd in them, some more so. I mean, Grady Judd has 100% Grady Judd in him. And then every once in a while, Bob Johnson, and it kind of sounds like that. And this was one of those cases where Chip's like, oh, man, this is just the truth. I'm just saying it. That kind of blunt, obvious, tough talk sheriff. And I, for one, appreciate that. I like that. I thought it was appropriate. Yesterday, we had a chance to talk to Sheriff Simmons. He was here in studio with us. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm good. Grady Judd is the blunt sheriff in what, Pinellas, I think, is where I have in my head.
Polk County.
Polk County. Oh, no, that's right, Polk County. Anyway, so this was a bizarre case. I guess, what, this former boyfriend had broken into her house and she called her brother over for help, right?
Yeah, well, there's a couple things here, and it led to that comment. She had broken up with her boyfriend. Her boyfriend comes back to the house and forces his way into the trailer, forces his way inside, batters her. I am privy to the video. There's a video of this. And
like she had security video inside?
She had video inside.
Okay,
her,
all right.
Her place. And he slaps her around a bit. She asked him to leave. I would estimate, I have not counted them all, at least 15 to 20 times. Leave. He refuses to do so. She, I guess unbeknownst to him, texts her family who was nearby, staying nearby, lives nearby, whatever.
Okay.
So they came in like the cavalry. They
more,
came
more
in.
Than one? Multiple
there was,
people?
There was three people came
oh,
in.
Oh, okay.
I think her aunt and some other, another individual came in with her, I think it's her brother.
Yeah.
And then they get into a tussle, a fight, a bit of a fight, as you can imagine. And then at one point, the ultimate shooting victim is let up, and he is about to leave, and then he turns around with a handgun, and he points it at, and I believe he actually fires the first round.
Oh,
to
okay.
Which the other individual shoots and kills him.
Okay.
So again, I made that comment because because I mean it. If someone were to point a gun at me, they're liable to get shot, and I want. You know, that same reasonableness standard as we talk about
many times,
years and years. If it sounds reasonable, you can protect yourself or others, and you can do that in Escambia County.
Self-defense is justified. Self-defense inside your home is justified. Defense of others inside a home is justified. These are all, you know, sort of core obvious self-defense parameters. And yeah, wow. I mean, it's, and so, you know, the there would be no charges because it's self-defense, right?
We are not going to charge.
Yeah, that's all there is to it. You had another case. Jarvis Johnson, 38-year-old Jarvis Johnson, was the victim. This was on Emerald Avenue in Escambia County over the weekend, I think on Saturday. Is that right?
That's correct. About 10:30 in the morning, we get a call of shots fired. Our deputy was nearby. We were there within probably 2 minutes. And because then when we get there, we find that there was a male that was deceased in what I think is his front yard. But because we were there so quickly, we established a perimeter and had canines. And so the question was whether, you know, why did we have canines out if we weren't looking for someone? Because if you get there fast enough and you think that someone's going to be on foot, potentially, we want to make sure that we don't, you know, lose that opportunity.
Right.
And so that's what we did. We weren't able to locate the dogs, weren't able to locate a suspect. So we are asking if anyone has information to please let us know. The interesting fact about this case is the same victim was shot in May, and we weren't really getting a lot of information about that particular one. So we're trying to figure out whether these are connected, whether they're related, whether the May thing led into the thing that happened on Saturday, or some sort of a continuing escalation.
I am assuming that you are assuming that nobody gets shot in their yard twice within 6 months by sheer accident.
It's yes. That is correct.
This is not just
stupid.
This is not just like, you know, an ordinary citizen is just out in the yard one day and what'd you say, March or April, and they get shot, and then
May.
And then again in September and they get shot in the yard. Man, unlucky.
Yeah, again, you know? I don't know the circumstances surrounding this one. It appears to be close quarters, or it's not a drive by. It was something that happened someone close, and it does not appear random. I'll tell you that. In May, the statement was he was taking his garbage out and ends up getting shot by an unknown person. You know, seems a little far-fetched at the time, and now that we're looking at piecing these things together,
right.
You know, we're trying to see exactly what took place. So, again, if someone has information and they want to come forward with that.
Just because we were talking about these two shooting incidents, where are we at with the shot spotter?
We have been meeting with the individuals and representatives of from ShotSpotter. We do have the money. It's a grant that comes around $400,000 a year that we're getting. We have met with them. They've figured out the locations to put for the 3 mile perimeter in Escambia County, and the next step is to go ahead and actually put those up on the poles and integrate those with our real time crime center, which should probably up and running by November.
Okay, where's the location? Because that was the last I heard was you guys were not decided yet.
On the location for the ShotSpotter, it's a 3 mile area encompassing Montclair and Mayfair.
Okay,
it's just those two areas. We used a heat map as to when the reported shots were over the last year or so, and that seemed to be the area with the highest shots. Now, the city of Pensacola also has a 3 mile area, and I don't know what their area is, but a lot of data.
Oh, they're not. You guys are not collaborating on the region.
We're aware of it, but we're each doing our own. Right?
Okay. Yeah,
correct.
Okay.
We applied for the appropriation. The sheriff's office did on behalf of us and the Pensacola Police Department. So we pretty much carried the water on that one.
All right. We'll have to ask the mayor about that tomorrow. Very good. One of the other sort of things that's come up a bunch recently. Well, I guess we had one more incident I wanted to talk about. Ian Foster arrested, fled your deputies in a stolen truck. Is that right?
Yeah, you know, it used to be where fleeing a deputy or fleeing from law enforcement would be a isolated experience, but we seem to have a lot of people doing that. Let me tell you what's going on with these stolen cars and what we have seen. People are stealing cars, and then they're letting them sit for a couple of days, and then they're going back and using these cars to do drive-by shootings. We know that. We see that, and we're not stupid. So I told our deputies, I said, we're going to go ahead and stealing a car and being a stolen car is a felony. We're going to go ahead and chase these cars as long as it's safe to do so. And not only that, we're going to try to end these pursuits as quickly as we possibly can, because they may be heading towards a drive-by shooting. They may be heading from a drive-by shooting. Mm-hmm. But either way, it's not.
They're not just joyriding.
Don't get caught in a stolen car and try to run from deputies, because there's a reason. First of all, you're in a stolen car. Secondly, there's a reason that you're running. This particular individual, even after he crashed, he tried to ram three or four of our cars. Actually, I think he ran four or five of our cars.
Wow.
Before he was finally, you know, pulled from the car and taken into custody. So, you know, we're going to send them a bill for all of our bumpers and that sort of thing, and all the time it took, and hopefully stays in jail for a while. But I think it's always important, especially yesterday being September 11th and the first responders and the work that they do, to understand that our deputies are out there day in, day out, and they're chasing people that have bad intentions.
And this was W and Jackson, I think, is where this ended
up.
Correct. Is that right?
Right.
Okay. One of the other things that's kind of come up recently is talking about, you know, dealing with the homeless issue. And, you know, you had made some comments that were interpreted as wanting a task force, wanting to spend money, thinking you could spend money better than, I guess, the city and the county are doing. But what's the truth here? What's going on with the homeless in the county from your perspective?
Yeah, the question that was presented to me was, would we work with the Board of County Commissioners on maybe, you know, hardening up our ordinances, creating better ordinances, because we feel like, and our legal team feels like, the existing ordinances that are on file are under constitutional challenge throughout the state,
okay,
including all the trespassing, the panhandling, and all of that. And so my response was, sure, I'll be glad to I'll be glad to work with the county commission and see if we can come to something. And then the question led into, you know, what is the issues here? What do I see? And I made reference. I feel bad for the business owners that have to deal with some of the despicable acts that these people do,
yeah,
right in the sidewalks, right in front of them, and I feel bad. Maybe a little snarkily, but I did say, if you want to give me some of the millions of dollars you have to spend on homelessness, I will create an engagement unit, mm-hmm, not a task force, but a unit, and we will concentrate solely on the homeless issue. I will have 8 deputies or so, and so that's what they would do. They would help them find the resources that are available, but they will also put those you know, that are violating the laws in jail. We can take care of that. We can help you. Help yourselves if you wanted to give us some of that money. Now, I'm the newspaper mentioned that I was going to go to them and ask for it. I'm not going to do that. But if they really want to make use of the money, because I'll be honest, I'm not sure exactly where all the money has gone to.
Sure.
And they don't invite me to their meetings. Thank God. but I'm just telling you, if they want to, if that money's burned a hole in their pocket, I can make use of it.
Well, I would say at the city, the money burnt a hole in the pocket already, and at the county, it's like locked up in a vault in their pocket. So I don't, you know, they can't quite figure out which end of that spectrum they want to be on.
I was simply giving them an option.
You were saying I could help. I know some things, yeah, that we could do. All right, very good. Hey, we always like to end on a good note, which is the 25, I think, graduates of the Female Blazer Academy. Is that right?
Yeah, last Tuesday we had our graduation ceremony, second Female Blazer Academy, and I was lucky enough to be, and fortunate enough to have been a part of, I actually taught 2 separate sessions of this class. And the difference between the young men's and the young women's class is they are all similar in that the growth and the mm-hmm, from one meeting to the next, but the Female Blazer Academy is a lot more vocal. They're a lot more willing to talk about their future,
yeah,
than the young men were. The young men, we had to pull it out of them.
Right.
What goals do you have? Oh, no, I don't have anything. Uh-huh. The young women have goal after goal after goal. And
let me show you my binder.
Yeah. Speaking of goals, goal number 12 is this,
right,
and that. And it's a very rewarding experience. We were able to be at the Sanger Theater for our graduation. We walked across the street to the Global Grill. Every time I finish one of these classes, every time we look at the faces and these young men and women, where they're decked out in their blazers, and they, you know, we give them a little gift, we do a little toast to them. It just kind of, you know, reassures you that our future is not in bad hands after all.
I love this program. It's, how many agencies have been copying this program now, or do you know?
Yeah, I don't know how many agencies have copied
implemented
exactly. I know that, again, I mentioned that it's the program of the year for the state of Florida. So when we went down to get the award, before I got to my seat, 4 agencies, you know, gave me a card, said, hey, can you have someone call me with it? So I think that there are a number of agencies that are doing a version of it.
Yeah.
It's a pretty heavy lift, quite frankly, but it's worth it whenever you look at the time that you're giving to you know, to our area youth. Not all of them are at risk. Some,
sure,
are. Some are from AMI kids and boys based, and we have had some that are actually convicted of certain of crimes. But it's just a great group of people. We're not tolerating any nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a great back and forth. It's a great opportunity to give the kids what I think they really need, and that's time.
No, it's a beautiful program. It really is. Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for talking to our audience here, and then obviously thanks for keeping us safe. I appreciate it.
You bet. Y'all take care.
Absolutely. 550 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. If you are thinking about that next vehicle, or maybe, you know, honestly, maybe you hadn't been. Maybe I ask you the question, you love your car, and you start thinking, you're like, oh, that's a good question. I don't love my car. Okay. Well, depending on your answer, right? Because your answer might be, heck yes, I do. Okay. Or it might be like, well, I used to, you know, and I kind of remember what that feels like. And you're like, it's been so long since I love my car, Andrew, I don't even get the question. Listen, you deserve better. You deserve better. You deserve a car you're going to love. And the way you find one is you go to Frontier Motors, you look around, and you see what they've got. And, you know, what you'll find there is all these different makes and models of cars that are a year or two or three old with low miles and great condition. And you can really compare them all side by side and decide which one is the right one for you. You know, which one do you love? Love. Like, when I ask you that question, you can be in your Frontier car, and you're like, yes, buddy, I do. Okay, well, you know, that's what you deserve. So go take a look around, see what they've got, and find something that you're not, like, wishing you didn't have to drive, right? You shouldn't get up and dread your car. Frontier Motors is serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind that big buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
This is Tort Talk with personal injury lawyer Terrence A. Gross.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Gross. In 1986, the Florida Bar limited personal injury contingency fees through trial to 40%. At that time, I thought that was too high. I've now practiced personal injury law in Northwest Florida for over 40 years, and I'm proud to say I've never charged a client 40%.
Tort Talk is brought to you by Terrence A. Gross. Call 434-3333 or check him out at grossandschuster.com.
Jaclyn Harris Preparatory Academy presents The Many Faces of Tina Turner on Friday, September 29th. Sue Strawn will host an evening of electrifying music, fun, and dancing by Dance Connection. Master storyteller Robin Richard will share the story of the most amazing recording artist ever, Tina Turner. This is a fundraiser event for Favor House, so join them for a fun evening. Tickets are $55 and can be purchased at eventbrite.com.
It's a celebration. Join us for the Impact 100 20th Anniversary Celebration on Thursday, September 28th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at the Brownsville Community Center. This event is a celebration to honor two decades of empowering women and transforming lives in our community. Presented by Kia Autosport and Sandy Sansing Dealerships. Limited tickets are available, so visit impact100pensacola.org to buy your ticket today.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Gracie from 4 till 7 right before Dave Ramsey on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Well, I always just thought if you see somebody without a smile, give them yours.
Got it yet, Candy?
No. I know it, though.
What movies has Dolly been in? There's only really two highly popular Dolly movies.
Is it The Best Little...
They're both about working women.
Ladies of the Evening of Texas?
There's Ladies of the Day, 9 to 5.
Yeah.
And Ladies of the Evening, The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
So that's
right?
What it was?
Yeah, that's right.
You see somebody without a smile, give them yours.
Y'all come back now, you hear?
Yeah, right.
And
Texas has Lady of the Evening house in it. Yeah. Lord have mercy, exactly, bless my soul. Yeah.
Oh, man. And I am pretty sure in the history of the universe, there's never been a sound clip from The Best of the Whorehouse back-to-back with a Toby Mac song. So
I'm guessing that is correct.
That's what you get here, is stuff you can't find anywhere else in the known universe or
that's
the
true.
Unknown universe. 555 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, did you see this thing? The FDA made news yesterday on two different fronts. One is they say that phenylephrine has no effect. Decongestant that's in a lot of popular medicines, and they say it does nothing. It has no value. it shouldn't even be for sale. Not because it's particularly harmful, although there are some, you know, perhaps minor side effects. The issue is that people are spending money on something that does nothing when they could be spending money on something that would do something. So it's like the substitute effect. Okay. It's not about safety. It's about, well, it's not really solving the issue. Consumers could be buying something that actually works. So they're looking to maybe even take it off the market entirely, not because it's unsafe, but because it's pointless. A placebo has the same efficacy, which I feel like they're kind of running down the placebos. I mean, the placebos are, you know, placebo, the mind, the body, if you believe something works, that really does have health benefits.
I know that it does, but still.
We can't really market something as, hey, take this placebo.
No, I feel like you should sue and get all your money back for the worthless.
All the time.
I know.
The other
I'm not
one,
a sewer.
The other one is the 13-1 on COVID-19 vaccine, the new vaccine, the updated for the Omicron sub variant that they're a little bit more worried about these days, that basically everybody should take it. There was one person on the 13-1 vote who said that it should only be for older Americans at risk. And then everybody else said, no, everybody can benefit from it. So because waning immunity from the prior vaccine rounds that you might have gotten and so forth. We'll see how many people actually wind up getting it. But they're concerned, as they kind of always are, about the kind of the triple threat. You know, flu, RSV, and COVID all at the same time, and how that can become a problem in a population and, you know, sort of overtax resources and create issues if people are not vaccinated against them. And again, the argument on the vaccine is in some part still that it might protect you from contracting, but the sort of longstanding argument on the vaccine is that it will protect you from serious consequences if you do contract the virus. And of course, you know, both have value, but it's the serious consequences one that's really emphasized. 5:57 on News Radio 92.3. Let's see, we've got David Wayne in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Hold on one second here. There we go.
I know, I get into my storytelling mode, and then all of a sudden I'm like, now you go! Here's the ball!
There you go.
Well, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell doubling down on his support for Ukraine as Russia continues the invasion.
The United States probably has a deeper understanding of how Ukraine is using weapons provided by the United States and our allies than we've had with any other partner nation.
And Congress currently weighing a $40 billion request from the Biden administration for more Ukraine aid, border security, and also some domestic disaster relief. So apparently there's a deal in the works between Kim Jong-un and Russian President Vladimir Putin to supply Moscow with weapons. The two leaders met yesterday in Russia. And Putin says the meeting was held at the spaceport there because Kim Jong-un has shown great interest in rocket technology. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Russians are going to buy weapons from
Kim Jong-un.
From the
apparently.
North Koreans?
Yeah.
And then they're going to get food, right?
This is just, it's just
kind
weird
of bizarre,
to me.
Isn't it?
This is like finding out that, like, the Russian military is, the U.S. military was not able to get enough rifles, so we're suddenly buying, like, you know, high points and, you know,
right,
like,
yeah.
It's the. The North Koreans are your supplier? What?
Not really to downplay North Korea,
yeah,
but yeah,
you
it's kind of like buying, you know, your weapons on Wish.com.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I just
yeah,
don't
it's
understand
a little bizarre,
it.
Right?
You know, we're out of these good weapons, but you got any Kel-Tex we can buy? Like, yeah. What are you? Sorry, go ahead, David.
Hey, now let's not talk bad about Kel-Tec. They're okay. Reliable mostly.
Sure, whatever.
Sometimes,
right, whatever.
Occasionally, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
If you
NFL
need a chance of the bullet working. Go on.
Family and friends are all mourning. Mike Williams has passed away. He was a Buccaneer for 4 seasons. He died in Tampa. He suffered an injury at a construction site in Hillsborough County last week.
All right. Thanks so much, David. 5:59 here on News Radio 92.3. Hey, be listening because we have all kinds of stuff going on. We got Egg Fest is coming up. November 12th, Kia Autosports VIP tickets are available at newsradio923.com. And the Pensacola Seafood Fest is coming up September 29th.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3.